are podcasting from different states. Adam Mazur here in New York City on Thursday, January 22nd. Saying hello to Al Melchior and Scott White in sunny South Florida. Miss you guys.
Miss you too, Adam.
How you doing?
good. Things are good down here. How's the big city?
It's pretty good. I got on the subway so you know, like when somebody makes an ass of themselves and you kind of look at other people, like strangers, and you just kind of smile, like, can you believe that guy? Has that ever happened to you?
No, never.
Well, I was the guy who made an ass of himself this morning on the subway. Crammed into a crowded subway car, and people started looking at me and laughing at me, and I was like, oh gosh, welcome back to the city. But other than that, things were good. It's not that cold yet. So let me just say hello to all the listeners. I am back, and I'll be podcasting from New York this season with Scott now. And I know I sound a little bit rough right now, but we're working on that, so it's going to get better. By next week, I'll sound much better. Scott, now you guys sound great, so I'll let you guys talk. So go ahead.
Well, thank you.
Baseball. It's coming back, Adam. Like it or not, it's coming.
It sure is. All right, the topic today is what were you thinking? And so I looked at Scott and Al's rankings, and I saw some things that were curious. For example, did you know that Al Melchior has George Springer in, what, like your top seven?
In Roto, that is correct.
Yeah, George Springer and Corey Dickerson are both in your top 12 in Roto, ahead of Yasiel Puig and Bryce Harper and Justin Upton. What were you thinking? That's what I'm going to be asking you guys a little bit later. We'll also talk about Max Scherzer and some more news. Yovani Gallardo is now on the Rangers. Yu Darvish expected to throw off a mound on February 2nd for the first time, so we will discuss some other things. Anything I'm leaving out? How about those Outlook videos? Tell us about those.
Well, yeah, we've been working on them for the top 300 players in our respective rankings. So there's nobody we have ranked that will not get a video. I hope I said that right.
Yeah, you're going to make 300 videos?
That's
individual player Outlook videos.
Yeah, about 400, because there's not as much overlap as you might think in our in the, like, 200s of our rankings.
All right, gotcha. Those rankings are available. Go to fantasynews.cbssports.com. All right, email us, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. You have to put baseball podcast in the subject line, or else I'm going to think it is a football email or a basketball email, and I'm not going to read it. And also, non-keeper questions are awesome this time of year, because help me pick out 8 keepers of these 25. It's not my favorite.
You know, only applies to so many people, I think. Not a lot of wide application there.
You know, back when you were a Floridian, you loved those kinds of questions.
No, that's not true, Al. New York has made me angry, but not that angry. Okay, email of the day number 1 is from Clayton. This was an interesting email. I'm not sure if you guys saw this one. It was kind of rude. I'm not sure if it was intentionally rude, but it was kind of rude. So I printed it out. I put it in the notes, and here we go. He says, "Dear Amy, Rory, and Clara, who are traveling companions for the 11th Doctor Who." I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
Me neither. But I'm pretty sure I'm Clara.
11 of them? That right there is just like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. But he says, "Can you please forget about roster size when discussing rankings? There are too many different setups. I'm in a roto league that does not use 5 outfielders. By saying that is a reason you would or would not take a guy in a roto league, you are not as helpful. If you want to improve the podcast, you should give us formats and systems in which a player would be good in and not just say he's bad in roto because of the 5 outfielders. In the December 16th podcast, you said that categories was not Carlos Santana's best format. I would guess that is because of his average, but if the league uses OBP, of which many do, he was 22nd in the majors in that category." And I just kind of felt like this podcast should have had a comma jerks at the end.
Well, the word I wrote above the email here, it was also a 4-letter word. It was dumb, because this might be the dumbest email we've ever gotten. First of all,
firing.
He says in the email that his league doesn't use 5 outfielders. Well, if we say he's valuable because you need 5 outfielders and your league doesn't use 5 outfielders, obviously he's not valuable in your league, you know?
It's correct.
Like, We can't spell everything out perfectly for every format. You have to use your noggin a little.
Right. And the reason I put this in here is because we're going to be talking a lot about different formats and trying to help people out as much as we can. I don't want to just say, oh, this guy's good, this guy's bad. We have to put it in context. How many outfielders do you have? How many catchers are in the league? Whatever. So, yeah, you got to help us out a little bit. And as Scott says, use your noggin. Oh, that was pretty angry stuff from Scott White there.
Yeah, and I, you leave, and I become angry too.
Okay, good. Email of the day number two is from Nick. I was wondering why I see everywhere that Mark Trumbo is ranked higher than Chris Carter. Carter has good power and as good of power and much better on base skills. Just wondering your opinion. Mark Trumbo, Chris Carter.
I think there's one place to look there, and we sometimes get on Trumbo for plate discipline and not having a very good strikeout rate, but you know, compared to Chris Carter, he's Dustin Pedroia. So I think that's probably what accounts for that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's in roto leagues where batting average is going to matter, and that's both of these players' better format. I do think they're similar, but Trumbo I give a better chance of hitting for at least a respectable batting average.
Like a 250 compared to a 220?
Exactly.
Yeah, and yeah, that's a good, very good point. And it, yeah, it's not just the differential in the strikeout rates, but Chris Carter pops out about more than just about anybody. So that's going to make him very unreliable for batting
but
average.
I was surprised. Do you guys recall off the top of your head where Chris Carter went in the draft we just did? I was surprised that he went so late, if at all, considering.
Well, that was a points league where it's not imperative that you get the home runs, and obviously the strikeouts bring down his value some. So, and you don't need as many hitters. So I do think he's not much better than a late rounder in a head-to-head points league, but I would say the same for Trumbo. He probably went too early in that draft. I don't know where he went exactly, but it was probably too early.
Well, Carter went in the 15th round, and Trumbo went in the 11th round.
They do probably make, I probably would have like a round difference between the two.
Okay. I was just surprised because Carter was one of the best hitters in baseball since like July 4th through the end of the season. It's a pretty long stretch. And I'm never going to forget that date. It's a pretty important date for us, guys. There's probably some meaning there.
July 4th?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That, they celebrate that in New York, too?
They do, but I'm just saying the fact that Chris Carter got hot on our Independence Day probably means something.
Was his independence from the Mendoza line.
Okay, email of the day number three is from Corey in Ottawa. And he's going to play his first Roto League this year. Good job, Corey. In the past, I've only played in head-to-head categories. Ooh, bad job, Corey. You're downgrading in format. I know both are similar, but my question is, what are the differences in Roto and head-to-head categories? What should I consider when preparing for my draft?
Well, I think the biggest difference is just that in head-to-head category, by the nature of it being head-to-head, it's a bunch of small competitions within a larger competitions, where roto, pure roto, your team's production, it's never like banked over the course of the season. It's just one long accumulation of statistics. So you might have a slight preference in head-to-head categories leagues for consistent players, players who aren't so injury prone that you have to worry every week about whether or not you should start them, or they'll give you a zero for that week and you'll end up losing because of it. But that's just a small adjustment I make between the two formats. For the most part, I evaluate players the same way in head-to-head categories and roto.
I feel like if you want to punt a category, you can do it in head-to-head categories and get away with it much more so than you can in a standard roto league where you're not taking a zero out of 12. But if you lose one category a week, you know, especially if you're in a deep league where it's tough to get saves or something like that, I feel like it's easier to do it and you can get away with it in a head-to-head categories league. Like in a basketball league that I'm in right now, which is head-to-head categories, especially if you have more than eight categories, let's say. I lose assists every week. I still have like the best team. I don't even play two point guards, whereas you can, you know. So I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
Oh no, I think that's a great point. Once you said it, I realized that's probably the single biggest difference strategically between the two formats. So I definitely have had that experience.
All right, Bob. Before we get into what were you thinking and more of your emails, let's do some injuries, news, and notes. Max Scherzer to the Nationals. Last year, Scherzer was a top nine starting pitcher. In 2013, he was the second best pitcher behind Clayton Kershaw. He went 18-5 with a 3.15 ERA. His whip was kind of high, though. He had a 1.18 whip, which was the highest of any of the top 13 starting pitchers in points leagues, any of the top 19 starting pitchers in roto, but obviously a ton of strikeouts. What do you think this move does to Max Scherzer?
Well, I think it can only help him. I would say that for basically any pitcher going from the AL to the NL, just because they're not they're facing a pitcher every time through the order instead of a DH. That makes a difference. But I think the bigger aspect of this deal for fantasy owners is what it does to the rest of the Nationals rotation, because now there's clear overflow. They already had five starting pitchers who were in my top 60. You would think they would make a trade, probably moving Jordan Zimmermann or Doug Fister. But if they don't, there's a chance Tanner Roark could be out, which would be a really sad thing for him. And I think for fantasy owners, because it would take a viable option out of the pool. But the guy's already 28 years old. He just had an awesome year. This is his chance to earn money. And they're thinking about, maybe they're not seriously thinking about it, but at least they're letting the media know they're thinking about moving him to the bullpen. So I don't know. I'm hoping for a trade for everybody's sake.
Well, does it make Scherzer any better or worse? Did you move him up or down in your rankings?
I haven't moved him in my rankings, and I don't expect to. He might get a marginal projection.
Where is he?
Washington, D.C., but that's not really important right now.
Yeah.
He's fifth for me.
And fifth for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going Scherzer or – well, Scherzer over Strasburg?
I am. I've got Strasburg seventh.
I'm also.
Okay. Scherzer or Cueto?
Scherzer's two spots ahead of Cueto for me.
Three spots. I can't count.
Chris Sale or Max Scherzer?
Now you found a line there. Chris Sale.
Yep. Okay. Scott's got him third. I've got him second.
And anything new with the Detroit rotation?
Not of late.
Right, because we weren't planning on him being in the rotation.
Well, yeah, and actually there is some pretty impactful news we were discussing earlier here in the office.
Oh, share.
That I read this morning that Justin Verlander was rebuffed in his marriage proposal to Kate Upton.
Come on!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was actually trying to Google this later, and it's not so clear whether or not the proposal happened, whether it was just...
It sounds like damage control to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, if this did happen, he proposed a marriage, she turned him down, and now the world finds out about it. That has got to be the biggest blow to this man's confidence of his life.
So are you moving him down?
Well... I mean, he's already so far down, I don't see the need to lower him more. But mentally, yeah, it takes a little bit of a hit.
I give Verlander more credit. I think we're going to see angry, spurned Justin Verlander this year, who will rise in the rankings.
Well, this is an interesting development. We'll have to see what happens when pitchers and catchers report if he's going solo or if there's someone there with him. We'll have to see. All right, the Rangers acquired Giovanni Gallardo. Is he just an AL-only guy for you?
Pretty much, yeah.
He's on the fringe of being mixed league viable. It's just he doesn't strike out guys anymore, and it's not like that was the main thing he did when he was good, you know?
Yeah, he is a bad whip guy, too. Yeah. He was barely in the top 120 pitchers, starters and relievers, in Roto last season. But he was a number 65 starting pitcher in points leagues, so that makes him relevant, I guess. Now, for the Brewers rotation, what does this mean?
It means probably, I guess the GM's pretty much confirmed Jimmy Nelson's in, which is good news. A guy with a lot of upside. He didn't really show it last year, but he wouldn't be the first pitcher to struggle in his first real opportunity. You just look at the numbers he had in the PCL, one of the most hitter-friendly leagues in the minors, and he was, they would blow you away in any league, much less that one. And, ground ball tendencies... pretty good bat misser. I think he's... I would take him... Assuming this holds and he stays in the rotation, I would take him over Gallardo.
Okay. Yu Darvish expected to throw off a mound on February 2nd for the first time this offseason. He missed a month and a half with elbow inflammation last year. Had a 3.06 ERA. Struck out a ton of batters. 182 and 144 and a third. Scott has him in the top 10. Al has him 13th in both points and Roto. Meanwhile, the Marlins expect Jose Fernandez back after June 1st. We don't really have a clear timetable here for Fernandez, but Al, you have Fernandez 39th in points and 97th in Roto.
Yeah, go with the points ranking. Fernandez is one of a handful of guys that will need to be adjusted. And I don't need to get into the nitty-gritty details about it, but yeah, some of the, in order to sort of maintain integrity of the auction values as I calculated them, the guys who are missing time, I didn't make an adjustment for the replacement level value that their replacement would have.
Right. Okay.
So I expect that Fernandez, after that adjustment, will, you know, be right around 40th.
Okay. Well, you know, Al, I was looking forward to like an entire off season of arguing with you about Jose Fernandez and how you have him so high in your rankings. I was expecting like top 24.
Yeah, initially I was too, because, you know, we did those sort of initial off the cuff.
So thanks for ruining my off season.
So yeah, anytime, it's just what I do.
Okay, 39 seems a lot less likely to incite anger. Okay, Houston traded Dexter Fowler to the Cubs. They got Dan Straley and Luis Valbuena back, and apparently this is not going to speed up the timetable for Chris Bryant, who's a third base prospect who hit 43 home runs last year in the minors. That, of course, would have to do with, you know, Valbuena being traded and being a potential roadblock for Bryant. Any thoughts on this trade, guys?
Well, I don't know. I don't really feel like any player's value changes drastically. Maybe Straley, just for the fact that he's going to get more of an opportunity now. He was a pretty good strikeout pitcher in the minors. But the whole Bryant thing, I don't think it necessarily changes his timetable either, but that doesn't mean that timetable couldn't be spring training, he wins a job. You know, he still should be. He's still like this year's George Springer, the player who we expect to begin the year in the minors, but he's getting drafted in the middle rounds anyway.
Yeah, I think that the real impact here is on players not involved in the trade, specifically Javier Baez and maybe to a lesser extent Arizmendi Alcantara, excuse me, or Alcantara.
Alcantara,
the first and the last name.
Yeah, yeah, that's an easy guy to do that with.
Yeah. And especially Baez, because this is coupled with some comments from the organization that he's going to have to earn a job. And that was sort of signaled, I think, with the trade and the shift, potential shift of Alcantara into the infield mix, which is already extremely crowded. So, you know, it looks like Tommy La Stella might emerge as the opening day third baseman. But there's Olt, there's Alcantara, there's Baez himself who might move over there, and none of them might have a lot of job security with Bryant waiting in the wings.
Would you guys draft Bryant or Chris Carter? Now you're filling a utility spot, let's say. You just
Chris
want
Carter.
Some depth.
Chris Carter.
In Roto, I would do Carter. Head-to-head, I might take the flyer on Bryant instead, because I don't feel like Carter's upside is that high in that format.
And are you drafting Pittsburgh infielder Jung Ho Kang, who is Korean, hit a bunch of home runs in Korea, coming over now to potentially be a backup or a starter? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Would you draft him at all?
NL only, until we know more. And even there, it would be probably just as a late rounder, because the balance of the information we're getting seems to suggest that they intend for him initially to be a more of a utility guy. And, of course, there are the questions about how much of that power really will play in the majors.
But nobody really knows is the thing. So I agree it's not worth like extending yourself for him in a draft, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it becomes clear in spring training or the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season that he's going to be an offensive asset and he becomes the starter thereafter and just makes an all-star team, whatever. None of that would really surprise me, particularly since Hyunjin Ryu translated so well to the leagues. I know it's pitcher versus hitter, but it seems like the level of competition in Korea isn't so laughably bad that anyone who does well there is just, you know, a chump.
Right.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me tell you guys about New York.
Okay.
So we're Skyping right now. Al, you can see the room I'm in, right?
Yes.
Describe it for everyone.
Okay, I do have to blow it up because basically it just looks like sort of a cavern.
Well, yeah, then you don't have to blow it up because okay. That's, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
There is not one color in this room. It is entirely white, and there's a black phone and a black chair. And even my cup for water is white. This whole office is like black or white. It's not a bad office, but they put me in this room for podcasting. No decor. This is unbelievable. There's like nothing. I didn't realize how how like barren it is. But anyway, I'm terrified that everybody's going to hear me when I'm on the air, when I'm doing this. Because I have the door closed and all that, but I'm just really scared, and they're all going to hate me for making them listen to me, like scream at them while they're trying to do their work.
Well, I mean, you just criticized their decorating. Out of the open.
Decorating, so you cannot use that. There is no decorating.
their lack of decor. Look, they are making some kind of higher level statement with their lack of decoration that you just don't understand.
No, the whole office is cool. I'm just talking about this specific room is so plain. It's entirely black and white, and there's a gray Ethernet cord, and that is it. And so anyway, when I walk out of here, this is the first podcast I've done up here. When I walk out of here, I might be the least popular person in the office, who nobody knows, by the way.
So they'll all be looking at you like on the subway?
I'm going to stay – yes, exactly. I'm going to stay in here for like an extra half hour so people forget about me when I walk out.
Well, you know why they put you in that room.
Why?
Because you're Johnny Gray.
Good old school reference there, my friend. All right, what were you thinking? I looked at your rankings. I don't know that we'll be able to get to all of these, but Scott Masahiro Tanaka, number 35 starting pitcher in points, number 42 in Roto, behind Colin McHugh and Matt Shoemaker and Mike Fiers. What were you thinking, Scott White?
What I was thinking is that Tanaka has a torn ligament in his elbow. The same torn ligament that usually requires Tommy John surgery. He's trying to pitch through it. You don't see that very often. He was okay for a couple starts at the end of the season, but we still don't really know. He could blow out his elbow anytime. It could be in spring training, in which case we can adjust the rankings. It could be April 12th. And then what happens if you drafted him too early? You're just out of luck. I think the pitchers I have ranked ahead of him, including McHugh, Shoemaker, Maker, and Fiers, are all good enough for me to pass on the potential upside of Tanaka.
So you buy those three guys, McHugh, Shoemaker, and Fiers, that
I do.
Maybe they won't be as great as they were in a small sample last year, but they're
going to
be...
Well, it wasn't that small of a sample, at least for McHugh.
Not for McHugh, but for Shoemaker and Fiers.
Eh.
Especially Fiers.
Fiers is the most questionable. But really, it's the most questionable because he's blown up in the majors before, which in a way almost makes what he did last year more convincing, because if they had him figured out, supposedly, how did they then forget what worked the last time? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. Now, Here's the thing. I'm going to bring up a lot of these, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I disagree. It's more of like what caught my eye that maybe other people would be like, that's interesting. So you make solid points. We can move on to the next one. Javier Baez, number 8 shortstop in points for you, number 7 in Roto. He was so bad, though. He was so bad. He hit a few home runs right out of the gate in Colorado. Ended up batting 169 and struck out 95 times in 213 at-bats. So it seems a little ambitious, top 8.
Listen, if you doubt his power, then you're not paying attention to scouting reports or what he did in the minors. He's going to hit for a ton of power. The question is how much contact he makes. And last year, it was very little. Basically struck out every 2 at-bats. Obviously, if that continues, and Al brought up the point of maybe he doesn't even have a job this spring, so I'll adjust if that happens, but... if he continues striking out that much, it's going to be a problem, but it's unfair to assess him going forward based on what was a learning experience. Basically, we don't really know when the light bulb's going to go off for any of these players coming up from the majors, and I think at shortstop, because there's so much crap there, it's worth taking the chance on a guy who could potentially hit 40 home runs. Maybe you drop him a month into the season, but maybe not. Maybe he's awesome. Certainly in shallower leagues where every team starts just one shortstop, you know there's going to be an Eric Ibar or J.J. Hardy or, Alcides Escobar type out there to fall back on if it doesn't pan out. So might as well go for the upside and instead of just drafting one of those unenticing players from the get-go.
Okay. Al? Would you like to comment?
No, I agree with the strategy. I have Baez ranked a little bit lower.
12th.
Yes. but you know that makes him a starting shortstop in a 12-team league. And the logic applies there that I'd rather go ahead and bank on him to be my starter, and then I can live with the waiver options if it doesn't work out.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about D. Gordon.
Scott is going the way you want it, is it, Adam?
No, it's fine. This was kind of more difficult than I thought it would be. Scott has 6 second basemen ranked ahead of D. Gordon. Al only has 4. What does D. Gordon have to do to win your love, Scott? I mean,
Roto, right?
Yes, in Roto. You have him 9th in points and 7th in Roto.
Yeah.
Can he really not do what he did last year? I don't see why he can't.
I guess if you put it that way, I don't see why he can't either. But I do think that is the limit of what he can do. But more than that, it's the player. Well, really, the only player who I think I have ahead of him in that format who's questionable is Jason Kipnis. And it's a matter of, well, what can Kipnis do? I think if Kipnis is as good as he has been in the past, you know, you're talking about a potential 2020 player at second base. That's more valuable.
Well, what about Kinsler, though? Like, didn't you guys expect Kinsler to kind of be a bust last year?
No, but he wasn't.
No, he wasn't, but he's a year older now.
No, we both had him as a bust, but...
Okay.
Yeah, he's a year older now, but he was great. The biggest concern for me, age was part of it, but was the change in venue, because he was so bad away from Texas his whole career there. And obviously that's a moot point now, because he was just as good or close to it. I think assuming health for Kinsler, a typical Kinsler season is better than a reasonable expectation for Gordon. Maybe not the best case scenario for Gordon, but a reasonable expectation for him.
All right.
Gordon a spot ahead of Kinsler in Roto, but behind him for points.
Okay. You ready? Gloves are coming off, Scott.
Uh-oh.
What were you thinking? Chris Davis of the Orioles, only 14th in your third base rankings. Let me tell you a little something about Chris Davis.
Tell me.
In 2012, he was good, not great, right? 270, 33 home runs, 85 RBI, 37 walks, 169 strikeouts. So 270, 33, and 85. Would have been the number 6 third baseman in fantasy that year had he been eligible. So I don't, he's not going to be as good as he was in 2013, but he was horrible last year. He's not that bad. And from what I understand, he's going to be able to use whatever he was suspended for last year. I think it was Adderall, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to be able to use it this year. So I feel like he'll bounce back, and at that position, I feel like he's got to be higher than 14th.
Well, I think there's a pretty good chance he bounces back, at least most of the way to what he did, that 33 homer season you were referring to. But there's a chance he doesn't at all. I don't think we can just pin it all to the Adderall. We don't really know what happened for him. And sometimes, particularly with high strikeout players like this, we see them have this one terrible year and then is just the complete unraveling of their career. That seems like a possibility. Now, I was making the upside argument for Baez at shortstop, but that was relative to what else is out there. Third base, I wouldn't call it a deep position necessarily, but just look at the names ahead of Chris Davis. Ryan Zimmerman, a high ceiling himself. Manny Machado, high ceiling. Josh Harrison was great last year. David Wright. Kyle Seager, I'm just going up the list now, so they're only going to get better from there.
Yeah.
I think 14th, based on the rest of that, based on just the pool of player, the pool of talent at third base, is appropriate. It makes it possible to gamble on the upside without losing anything if it doesn't pan out.
Well, Al, you've got him 9th in Roto.
Yeah, and I do agree with Scott in terms of the depth of the position. But, I do think his upside, I expect a rebound much more than I expect an unraveling. And the upside is much more considerable than the other people in his neighborhood in the rankings.
All right, Scott, a couple pitchers I wanted to bring up, and then we'll get to Al, and then I'll destroy Al. John Lester, you have 12th. So the thing with Lester is I always remember you guys talking about how, he wasn't really a fantasy ace. I think he had WHIP issues.
Yep.
And wasn't a big strikeout guy, really. So 8.5, 7.3, 7.5 strikeouts per nine innings in 2011, 12, and 13. Last year, he had an amazing year. Strikeout per inning, a 1.1 whip. Lester had arguably his best season, 2.46 yeah. ERA. So why do you have him as a fantasy ace? Obviously, I think we can all agree he was playing for a contract, right? No, I know you guys don't believe in that, but he did have it. He did have an amazing season, and you've ranked him as if you're expecting another one.
Well, it wasn't just a great season in terms of ERA. It was great peripherally. You kind of made reference to it, but just to underline the point. Yeah, he had had some issues leading up to last season with high whips and a decreasing strikeout rate. He had been a high strikeout pitcher previously. But then he turned it all around last year. His control was better than ever, and the strikeouts came back. And considering the stuff never really disappeared for him, I feel like it was just something subtly happened there mechanically that we'll probably never hear about that got him back on track. This is Lester getting back to what he was, and then maturity on top of it with the improved control, something you see from a lot of pitchers as they go deeper into their careers. And so that makes him an ace. I would say 12th is actually lower than I could rank him based on what he did last season, but it's creating the distinction there between the guys who do it every year like Madison Bumgarner and the guys who are a little more hit or miss like Zach Greinke. I think I have him right behind Lester.
Yeah, you
so
do.
Lester, I would say, is in that second tier of the more hit or miss guys, but he's the first one there because I do think what he did last year was legitimate.
Al?
I've got him higher than Scott. I've got him 11th in Roto, 10th in head-to-head points. So,
well, I mean, there are two guys that I see in the rankings that I think I would definitely take ahead of Lester.
Who?
Cole Hamels and Julio Teheran. In fact,
they're both in bad situations there. They're both in struggle to have more wins than losses situations.
You know, I'm tired of people talking about the Cubs being so good. I think this is the most overrated team. They've got so many young guys who need to play well. They could go horribly wrong for them. I don't think the Cubs are going to be bad. I think they're like a 500 team. But the Braves, just organizationally and with their they should have decent pitching, right? They could be all right.
They should have decent pitching. I'm not confident in their bullpen, which was the key even last year when they had bad hitting.
Yeah. Well, Al, one of my what were you thinkings was that you have Julio Teheran 25th. Scott, you have him higher than that. You have him 16th. But I don't really understand, as we transition from Lester to Teheran, why you're not feeling the love there, Al Melchior.
Strikeouts, really. And I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with a pitcher who's number 25. But I certainly, what he did last year didn't encourage me to bump him up into ace territory. So, I mean, it feels weird to be defending a negative ranking of Julio Teheran when I'm basically saying he's on the fringe being a number two starter.
He was a top 14 guy last year. He had a 1.08 whip, and he had good strikeouts per inning. He had a strikeout per inning in May, June, and July. He seems like the kind of guy who could have a breakout strikeout season.
He could, and here in the office we were having a discussion, and I said, you know, there's probably, I don't know, 30, 40 guys, none of whom would surprise me to end up in the top 12 at the end of the season. So the separator between the guys who are in the top 12 or maybe even the top 20 and those who fall beneath are, you know, who's been doing it for longer and what's the consistency. And Teheran's been several different pitchers in the majors and the minors over the last few seasons. So, yeah, compared to somebody, you know, like Lester or Bumgarner, I have a higher level of doubt with Teheran. But does he have the potential to be on their level? I think he does.
And Adam, go ahead and put this thought out of your head. The Braves are going to be okay in 2015. They're going to be terrible. I don't know if they'll be Phillies bad because, you know, they have a better chance of winning low scoring games than the Phillies do, especially looking at the back end of the rotations. But after the Gattis trade, there's no hope here. It's basically Freeman, Markakis, and then who? Simmons. Chris Johnson. I think you could make an argument that B.J. Upton is now the third best hitter in the Braves lineup.
But, Scott, they were horrible. They had the horrible – even though the names were there, they were one of the lowest scoring teams in baseball. And And they still stayed relevant. They were still in the discussion. What was their record? They were around 500, right?
Yeah, they were around 500.
So
but
what's different
now those
this
names
year?
Are gone. And the thing is, those were guys who produced last year with you could – maybe not Hayward, but certainly Justin Upton. He was the best player on the team last year, I would say.
Yeah.
And Gattis had some injury issues in the second half, but when he was in, he was great. So take that out and replace it with sludge, and that second worst offense in baseball or whatever it was becomes even worse. I don't know. Like, just maybe law of averages, it'll finish higher than that, but I don't think it'll be anything close to decent.
All right, fine.
Hey, he just called Zoilo Almonte sludge.
Hey, come on. It's Puig East, right? So I was going to ask you about Homer Bailey, but I want to move on to Al's rankings. And Al, what were you thinking? George Springer and Corey Dickerson are in your top 12 in Roto. They're ahead of Puig, Harper, and Justin Upton. And I even asked you, like, hey, are you going to make a rankings adjustment, or should I bring this up? And you said, no, go for it. So Corey Dickerson, George Springer, top 12 Roto outfielders.
Yeah, and I think that Springer in particular is a Roto specialist. I think I've got him 17th. I might be off by a spot in the head-to-head points ranking. So I understand that the strikeouts are going to be an issue for him. That'll depress the batting average, but the speed-power combination is, I think, going to be among the best and most potent, and I don't think I'm really going on a limb to expect 35-plus homers from Springer. Maybe a little bit on expecting 20 steals, which is what I have him projected for, but he's got the track record for it. He had the quad injury last year, which, you know, he's remarked impeded his attempts. And, you know, so I think there'll be a speed rebound there. And even with the low batting average that he's projected for, he grades out that high.
Yeah, I mean, your argument makes sense. You want to talk about Dickerson quickly?
Well, Dickerson, and, you know, when we did the initials off-the-cuff ones, I had him a lot lower because the road splits are not very impressive. The splits against lefties are not very impressive. But he does so much damage at home against righties. He actually does earn that ranking, and he's a very good all-around hitter. He's not just a power-only guy, but really one of the better hitters in the majors in terms of going the opposite way. And so I think he can help just about everywhere. And at the end, the counting stats and the ratios are going to be awesome.
Yeah, Dickerson, 131 games played, was the number 29 outfielder in points leagues, but he was number 14 in Roto last year. And he's going to be 26 in May, so he's obviously entering a good stage of his career. Scott, what did you think? You have both these guys in Roto leagues in your top 20. You have Dickerson 19 and Springer 20.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of the safer argument. I could certainly see a scenario where they're as high as Al ranks them, but to me that's kind of banking on the best case scenario or something close to it. When Puig and Upton, they're going to be great. There's no reason to have any concerns about them. Is there a chance Springer and Dickerson could be better? Yeah, but why take the chance with an early pick? Harper, I can understand a little more. I have no idea what to do with Harper myself. It's just the progress. I don't really know where he is anymore. You know,
I saw him recently. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say anything. But if had I known. This is true. I did see him. I don't want to say where, just in case he doesn't want people to know, but it wasn't anywhere bad or anything. I just don't want to be that guy. If I had known, Scott, you were having so much trouble, I would have talked to him.
Well, he would have said that was a clown question, bro.
Yeah, he probably would have said that. All right, let's move on here. Yordano Ventura. I was surprised at how late I was able to draft him in the draft we did a couple weeks ago. Al, you have him 63rd in both formats. Scott, I don't know where you have him off the top of my head, so maybe you can help me out there. But
probably just outside the top 50.
What is up with that? Isn't this guy like one of the – you know what? I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
You're obsessed with strikeouts, absolutely obsessed with strikeouts. I know he stopped striking guys out at one point, but he kind of picked it up. You know, last 12 starts, he had 71 strikeouts and 75 and a 30. He had 11 quality starts and 12 starts. Yordano Ventura gave up one home run in his last 10 starts. He was unbelievable. He had a 2.63 ERA in his last 12. And I just don't know what is not to like about him and why he'd be outside of your top 60, Al, and top 50 for Scott.
And see, you know, unless you're somebody like Dallas Keuchel, those kinds of home run ratios kind of scare me. They scream regression.
So what? So he regresses to, what, like 3.10 ERA instead of 2.63 there?
Well,
in that stretch?
I mean, in that particular stretch, probably not, you know, because he did miss a lot of bats. Mm. But he's got to show me for a longer period than that, because you know what he's done so far. You're right, the strikeout rate overall not that impressive. The control has not been very good. So there, you know, yeah, he throws really hard and he's got a ton of potential. But you know, there are plenty of guys who come in with that profile who don't put it together the way you would expect them to.
But do those guys who don't put it together ever have this good of a rookie season? I mean, you look at the overall numbers, 14-10 with a 3.20 ERA. What's not to like about it? This is a really big prospect who had a good year and only seems to be getting better. That would be my case for him.
But wins and ERA are probably the two hardest things to replicate, particularly when the peripherals don't line up very well.
And I don't even want to, like, because I have him ranked kind of low, too. I don't even want to go so far as to say, oh, well, I don't trust he's really as good as he showed last year. It's just that I don't think how good he was last year really stacks up as high as you think it does compared to some of the other names out there. It's just there's so many pitchers to like out there that you have to pick some to dislike. And the peripherals for Ventura are questionable enough that he gets bumped to the back end of the likable pitchers list. That's what it would.
All right.
That's how I would describe it.
All right. Well, we all know that I think he's going to have Tommy John this year, so I can't argue against you too much. But I just was surprised. I was surprised to see him that low. We move on. This one, Gio Gonzalez. Al has him 45th in points and 47 in Roto. Very solid pitcher year after year. Didn't have great numbers. 3.57 ERA. Highest ERA since 2009 for Gio Gonzalez. But top 31 starting pitcher four straight years, usually around the 25 to 30 range. Al, you have him 45th in points, 47th in Roto.
Yeah, and you know, I don't have a good explanation for why there's that kind of slippage when he's had that sort of consistency in terms of rankings. Just top of mind, I mean, there's just in that region of the rankings, there's a lot of younger, high upside guys that you know, I might be more tantalized by the potential for them to do even greater things. And yeah, Gio, I just don't really see it getting better for him. And again, it's not a knock. I think you're right. He's solid, and I could see him, you know, as my number four starter. But
I mean, here's the thing, Adam, because I'm looking at the names I have ranked around 45, and granted, I have Gio ranked higher than Al does. I have him 35th. I'm looking at Roto rankings here, but it's about the same head to head. So Al has him top 45. It's like Anibal Sanchez, Michael Pineda, Jared Weaver, Chris Archer.
I mean, you can't possibly take Michael Pineda over Gio Gonzalez.
Oh, I certainly could.
No, Al, you can't. You need to think about this.
I could get him a lot later.
I'm not, but I'm saying, like, there's a lot of reasons to like Pineda, too. Like, all these pitchers are very likable. There's no limit to the number of likable pitchers out there, and that's just speaks to where the game of baseball is right now.
Like, right, but some of them aren't going to hit. Whereas unless you feel like he started regressing last year and is on his way down, Gio Gonzalez, then I feel like he's a lock to finish around 30th, which is what he does every year. Except for the one year he had an amazing year, 2012 or 13, whatever it was.
Well, again, you know, in this environment where pitching is becoming more dominant in terms of the stats every year, the pitching hitting balance, standing still is falling behind. Now, as I'm looking at my rankings, I think here's one where I do think you probably have a point, because I'm looking at some of the guys I have ahead of them. And Gonzalez is a more established kind of consistent presence. So he could get adjusted up at least a few spots.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Okay. I see your rankings reflect upside. By the way, I get that.
Sorry, Scott,
did I cut you off?
No, it's okay. What do you have Gonzalez projected for ERA? Can you access that quickly?
Give me a sec.
Because there is a notable stat with him. Last year, the beginning of the year is when he really struggled, and they found out he was dealing with a shoulder injury that got him put on the DL for a while. He came back from that shoulder injury, and his ERA was 3.08 the rest of the way. So 4.62, oh, he's injured, comes back healthy, 3.08. So maybe if you are applying any regression there, like maybe it shouldn't be so much regression.
Okay, yeah, no, not so much. And actually, I think I have part of the puzzle here figured. So I've got him projected for a 3.41 ERA and a 1.26 whip. Mm. 190 innings. And he did have back-to-back 200 seasons and then a 199 and a 195.
Part of the knock on Gonzalez for me is that he doesn't go past six very often.
Exactly.
Which means he usually finishes short of 200, and it means we're probably not going to see any more 21 win seasons from him like he had in 2012.
Yeah.
But again, if we're talking reliability, I do think he meets that standard.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you can get him as a number three starter, I think he's so consistent and so helpful for your team. He just kind of stabilizes things. Especially in a points league, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just thought I'd rather take him as a number three, if I can get him as a number three, than gamble. I suppose it would kind of depend on who my first two guys were. If they were super solid, no doubts about them, then maybe I take a high upside guy. But, like, for example, 2 weeks ago when we did the draft – unless that was last week. Yeah, it was like a week and a half ago we did the draft. I took Tanaka as my number two guy, and I quickly turned around. I took Gio as my number three, just in case worst-case scenario happens with Tanaka. I wanted a steady guy there. I didn't want to take Tanaka and Colin McHugh, for example, and have two uncertainties there, even if you guys don't consider McHugh to be that.
Well, here's why I think you have a very good point. These rankings, for me, are so bunchy. So you both are talking about him as like a number 35-ish starting pitcher, right?
Yeah.
In points leagues, I've got Derek Holland at number 35 with a projected 494 points. Gonzalez had projected for 465 points. So if I gave him 15 more innings, he'd be, you know, ahead of Holland.
Right.
So, So, I mean, you know, that's actually probably less than 15 innings because with those innings come some extra strikeouts and so on. So just the innings alone would get my head on. So that's how tightly packed the 30s and the 40s are.
It's time for some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSi.com. Before we get into that, Scott, did you watch The Godfather yet?
I still haven't, Adam.
You're running out of time. And don't use the baby as an excuse. If you start using the baby as an excuse now, it's going to be an excuse for the rest of your life, Scott.
Listen. Have you ever had a baby?
Not yet.
Try to find a four-hour window where you're not not responsible for the baby and can watch a movie that is not baby-appropriate.
I kind of thought that at some point in my life, it wouldn't shock me if I hired a babysitter to allow me to go into the other room and like watch TV for a few hours.
Sometimes, that would be nice, but
yeah,
hasn't come to that yet. So,
all right. And what do you think about my seeing American Sniper tomorrow night? Approve?
Yeah,
sure.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah, well, let's all see it tomorrow night and report back. We can Skype.
Okay. We can Skype during the movie. I'm sure that wouldn't bother anybody.
No, not as much as this podcast is bothering the rest of the people in this office. Okay, here we go. Emails from Mike in Boston. Dear Vinny, Arnold, and Gabe.
It's Sweathogs Wall and their teacher.
What?
Oh, right. It's a Welcome Back Cotter thing?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So he's saying welcome back to me, actually. Thank you very much, Mike. I know you get a ton of keeper questions. I thought I'd ask a draft target question. In my 11-team AL-only Roto Auction League, I have the following keeper pitchers. I was wondering if I should target one of the two aces or a collection of the second-tier free agents. So his keepers are Samardzija, Iwakuma, Stroman, Duffy, and Cody Allen. This is AL only. Samardzija, Iwakuma, Stroman, Duffy, and Cody Allen. The aces available in free agency are Price and Darvish, and the second-tier free agents are Odorizzi, Sanchez, Chavez, and House. And more will be available after cuts. So would you go for the high-end guys, Price and Darvish, or Odorizzi, Sanchez, Chavez, and House? Chavez and House.
I have a feeling I'm missing something maybe here. Is there
I think he just wonders if the keeper pitchers are good enough that
right.
he doesn't have to go for an ace like Price or Darvish. And in an AL-only league, Samardzija with Kuma Stroman, that's a pretty good 1-2-3, I would think. I think I would save my money for hitters, but with the caveat that Jake Odorizzi really stands out as the best of those second-tier free agents. He's the one I'd
want. Well, that's Anibal, I assume, and not Aaron? It could be.
Oh, that's true. If it is Anibal, then
he really
stands out even over Odorizzi.
Yeah.
That's why.
Well, but Al, according to your projections, I thought this might be Jonathan Sanchez.
Well, was he last in the AL?
No, I'm just kidding. What happened with Jonathan Sanchez in your projections?
Yeah, no, he comes up negative. As well he should. Sorry.
All right, so Scott says go for hitters.
But Scott, what if my AL-only league only has three starting pitcher spots? You can't just say it's good enough.
All right, Double H says, dear Max, James, and John. Oh, I know that.
Do you?
That makes one of us.
Come on, guys. Look at the way John
Max
is spelled.
Scherzer,
J-O-N.
James Shields, and John Lester.
There you go. Free agent pitchers.
Yeah.
This year I'm converting my head-to-head league to a roto league. There's disagreement about whether to use wins or quality starts as a category. Another option is to combine the two, so wins plus quality starts would be a single category. What do you think?
I think the combined category is kind of yucky. Too complicated.
And quality starts, I see the argument for it. But I think I'm just kind of the opinion that if you're going to go the traditional route and play rotisserie baseball, just go with the traditional rules. I mean, yeah, it's not the most scientific scoring system around, but I mean, the basic premise of rotisserie isn't very scientific anyway. So, you know, just be part of just consider it harkening back to the olden days when we thought wins were the bee's knees and play along.
And we used expressions like the bee's
knees.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
Okay, next email, guys. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So we're still talking over each other. We're getting used to this. But this has actually gone a lot better than I anticipated.
Well, good.
Did you say something?
Richard from Toronto. I feel like I should know this. He says, dear Brett, Jay, and Adam. Now, I'm seeing Brett, Laurie, and Adam Lynn, former Blue Jays. But who is Jay?
Jay Happ? Maybe he spelled that way?
Yeah.
No, he's from Toronto. He knows how to spell
Jay
Happ.
Jay Rasmus.
Yeah, maybe that's his real name.
I like Scott's Happ theory.
This is a 16-team, 21-man roster, 6x6 head-to-head categories league. OPS and losses are the extra categories. He is keeping six, and he's already keeping Rendon and Bumgarner. So help him pick the next four for his 16-team 6x6 league. Adrian Gonzalez, Hanley Ramirez, Jay Bruce, Shinsu Chu, Cliff Lee, Mike Minor, Homer Bailey, Michael Pineda, Jake Arrieta.
This is tough.
Adrian Gonzalez, Hanley Ramirez, Jay Bruce, Shinsu Chu, Cliff Lee, Mike Minor, Homer Bailey, Michael Pineda, and Jake Arrieta.
Well, I'm definitely taking Adrian Gonzalez and Jake Arrieta, and I'll go ahead and add Hanley to that list because I'm not really enthralled with the rest of the choices. I do love Pineda, but I'm not sure he's sixth keeper material. I think I'm going to take Bruce as last keeper.
So Adrian, Hanley, Bruce, and Arrieta for you.
Yeah.
Scotty?
Well, no, I'm definitely not about keeping Bruce. I think I would gamble on Cliff Lee.
Yeah,
there,
you were going to say that.
Just because of, I feel like his problems were more injury related than, I don't know what went wrong for Bruce last year. I guess he would probably be next on my list, but I think Lee has a better chance of bouncing back.
Could you imagine not keeping Jay Bruce this time last year in the sixth round of a 16-team league with OPS as an extra category? I mean,
unbelievable.
You have to slam your hands on the desk when you say that. All right, Mike from Denver says, "Dear Sawyer, Jack, and Desmond."
I do know this one.
I don't.
Three characters from Lost.
Oh, okay.
Three of the better characters.
Oh, here's another 16-team league, but it's head-to-head points. So who to keep? Three outfielders, five starting pitchers, four keepers. They advance two rounds from last year's pick. So he's keeping Trout. Does he go pick four? Or I guess pick three. Cueto in the third, Arenado in the 10th, Carrasco in the 12th, Betts in the 12th, and Polanco in the 17th.
Arenado, Carrasco, Betts.
I am inclined to agree, though. I mean, Cueto and Polanco are good keepers, too, at that price. But I think those are three of the best. Arenado, Carrasco, Betts.
Last one. Grade the trade from Will. Dear Scooter, Statler, and Waldorf. 10-team head-to-head league. Who are they, by the way?
They're Muppets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good call.
Ooh, nice.
One of us has a kid and knows that. 10-team head-to-head league. Give up Scherzer, get Tulo and Hyunjin Ryu.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's play the game.
Grade the trade, Scott.
Oh, sorry. Duh. Duh. I give that a B, very close to a B plus.
C plus for me. I think it's pretty even.
Well, you're getting a pitching upgrade going from Scherzer to Ryu, right? So.
Yeah, of course.
It's got to be an A plus. All right, guys, thank you. Hey, successful podcast for our first Skype one.
Oh, we haven't finished it yet.
We didn't? Why? Is there like a cake or something?
No, it's just not over yet. Something could go horribly wrong here.
Don't say that. Now I have to hit stop.
It's true.
We are back next week with another one. That's going to sound even better. So thanks a lot for listening. And for Al Melchior and Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. And we'll talk to you next week with some more fantasy baseball. And by the way, we're going to start doing our position previews in just a couple weeks. See you then.
Adam, are you still there? Adam?
Yeah, I'm here. Bye.